From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds on the way to the home of architect Karen Breitmeyer. That's in Seattle's Magnolia neighborhood. Karen's an architect and the founder of Studio Pacifica. Karen uses a wheelchair, and she uses this experience to not only design her home, but also to shape public policy on accessibility. President Obama recently appointed her to the United States Access Board. That's a federal agency that provides leadership on accessible design. Karen Breitmeyer was a member of the Washington State Building Code Council for over 6 years, and she helped the state become one of the first in the nation to have its accessibility regulations certified by the Department of Justice. Karen's Magnolia home that we're headed toward is featured in a new book called The Accessible Home, Designing for All Ages and All Abilities by Deborah Pierce. Karen, how you doing? Ross Reynolds.
Hi, Ross. Come on in.
All right. So tell me about this house. Did you build this house from scratch, Karen?
No. This is a 1954 ranch home, you know, one-story ranch home, which just happens to be sited in just the right place.
How long have you owned it?
We moved in 96, and about 3 years ago, when we moved into the house, one of the previous owners had a family member who was a wheelchair user many years ago. So there was a ramp in the garage, and a few of the doors were wider than you would normally find.
So you started with a good beginning.
We started with an excellent beginning. Yeah. And then about 3 years ago, we decided to go all the way and make it fully accessible.
Well, show me around. Show me
Absolutely.
What you've done.
Come on in.
What a nice, great window view off north towards Fremont. Just beautiful.
Well, I think that's what makes the house seem bigger than it really is. It's a modest home, two bedroom, two bath, but we have these very large rooms, which wheelchair users, we tend to need a lot of space to turn around in. So having fewer but bigger sized rooms is a good feature for us.
Great. Show me some of the modifications you've made.
Sure. I guess I should set the stage a little bit by saying that both my daughter and I are wheelchair users, and my husband is of average stature. And when we thought about developing the kitchen, we realized that we all had such different sizes and reaches that we needed to do a little head scratching. How are we going to do that? So we tried lots of different counter heights to see what would be a good height for all of us. Mm-hmm. So we came up with four different counter heights, and the sink is about 4 inches lower, so at about 32 inches, and it has knee clearance underneath it, a space for my toes and knees to slide underneath.
So you can slide into that like a desk in a way.
Exactly.
And reach over the top of it.
Exactly. So these different heights for different purposes work very well for giving us sort of that compromise reach and space.
So this is sort of kitchen central for you. You can be at the sink, and you've got this to pull out, and that's where the trash goes.
Exactly. And on the other side of the sink, as I'm sitting at the sink, is the dishwasher. So I can sit at the sink and be rinsing the dishes, putting the trash and the trash on one side of me and the dishes in the dishwasher on the other. And then later, when the dishes are clean, we actually have it set up so that you can sit at the dishwasher and load all the clean dishes into the cabinet without moving around with a stack of plates in your lap. So that's kind of the way we organized all of the spaces around the kitchen. So
show me what else you've done with your house.
Well, one of the other things that I have trouble not getting too excited about is my garage. And I know that sounds crazy, but come see my garage.
And we're back at the back side of the house, and we're opening up the door to the garage.
So in our family, this is the no-step entrance. So it comes from the alley.
Not only is there no step, but there's no area even between the door and not even a little bump. It goes straight through.
You have pointed out one of the key features. When we bought the house, there was a traditional ramp in the garage with a little flat spot at the door, and then it sloped down to meet the garage floor. The difficulty with that is it took a lot of floor space up in our garage, and I drive a van that has a ramp, and when that opens up, it needs a lot of space off to the side in order to allow me to enter and exit the ramp. So we were scratching our heads because we couldn't make the garage any bigger. How are we going to do this? And one of my architect colleague friends said, well, why don't you just re-pour the slab of the garage and tip the whole thing? And so we did. And we now have a very gentle slope. The whole garage slopes towards the driveway, and it's level at the interior door. And I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It has worked fabulously. So for me to be able to get in and out of my car undercover easily is a huge, huge benefit. Okay, so I have one other thing I want to show you. Can I take you back inside?
Yes, let's see what else you've got.
We created a really accessible master bathroom. And my favorite part of it is we have a no-step roll-in shower.
The whole bathroom is like no steps.
The bathroom is totally flat. That's right. And the shower has a gentle slope to the floor to a drain along the back wall. And I have an adjustable control to my shower head. There's one standing one for my husband, and then
then a lower one that raises and lowers.
Yeah, a lower one for me and a bench for me to sit on. And it is just so wonderful. And we have a lot of turning space in here. So kind of as a family, you know, my daughter's in and out. My husband and I are both in here. So there's enough room for us all to get around and nobody to fall over each other. So it's just wonderful.
What a great feeling to get all this just the way it needed to be.
That is absolutely right. And I think I didn't realize until I made this change what a physical relief it is. I've always said to people, well, you shouldn't spend a lot of extra energy just to do your everyday things at home. Home should be where you have a chance to be relaxed and take it easy. And you save all that extra hard work for being out in the, you know, outside world. But once I actually had that myself to live with, I realized, wow, that is actually really true. And it really is so much more relaxing to be able to, like, I enjoy my cooking now. Things are just easier. And that's totally worth it.
You had done architecture before you did this on your house, right? And I assume you'd done universal design before you worked on your own house. Were there things you learned from working on your own house that you didn't know?
Yes, actually, I'm a licensed architect and an accessibility consultant, so this is what I do for other people all the time. I think I certainly gained a sensitivity to the level of detail that you need in order to get it just right, because it really isn't about, taking a few things out of a catalog and just mushing them together. It's really thinking about how does each person that's going to be affected by this actually do their daily tasks. For example, in the bathroom, when I do this kind of work with clients, I have to kind of ask about their personal habits, you know, how do they transfer, or how do they, you know, do they like to stand or sit in the shower and those sorts of things, which seems personal, but it really helps me know how to help them, you know, come up with the right answer. The benefit I had was I kind of already knew that for my family. Yeah. So we kind of had a leg up in that area.
Now, how does this accessible design work for both you and your husband, who is not in a wheelchair? Does it work equally well for both of you? Are there any benefits to the temporarily able-bodied for having a place designed like this?
He benefits from a lot of the easy-to-grip handles, the fact that we included a lot of all the faucets and hardware are easy to use, that we have a variety of heights and locations of things is great. If he wants to sit in the kitchen to do some work on the chili last night, you know, he can do that or stand. And I think nobody misses the lack of stairs. That's not a problem. I think what has been very nice is how many of my friends and family who don't see themselves as a part of the disability community find it so easy to come over. And it's really great. We just had to have a new washing machine delivered. Uh-huh. And when they came around the back and saw they could just roll right in, they were like, oh, this is really great. So, you know, it helps with all sorts of stuff. People with multiple needs, whether it's hearing or vision or mobility or cognitive, can create homes that are really comfortable and usable for them in ways that are attractive and not stigmatizing. I think there's a myth out there that accessible design in your home has to look, I don't know, institutional.
Well, I can certainly say this does not look institutional at all. It's like a really beautiful home.
Thank you very much. I think that was one of my goals, was to be able to let people know that, you know, if you do this early on, even if you don't feel that you need it, thinking about maybe senior members of your family who are moving a little bit more slowly or have difficulty climbing stairs, or when you have young children and you have a baby carriage, I mean, all those times of your life, a no-step entrance and an accessible bathroom, and all those things are really wonderful things to have in your family home.
Well, we really appreciate Karen Breitmeyer, you showing us your beautiful home here in Magnolia. It was really great to be here and see it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Karen Breitmeyer's Magnolia Home is featured in a new book called The Accessible Home by Deborah Pierce.